Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
Oh, dear Lord, that's a compelling song that we've just sung there. It is just so powerful. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. And of course, it goes on to say, and forget not all of his benefits. We benefit in every way. We're one step ahead of the world system all the time because we belong to the kingdom of God. There are things that count in our favor simply because we're in covenant with God. Hundreds of promises. Who knows how many promises actually exist in the Word of God? Everything spells that all the promises of God are yea and amen through Jesus Christ. And that's available to us. The just shall live and walk by faith. There ain't no mountain high enough. There ain't no river deep enough. Even in the lowest of the valleys, even in the depths of the sea, the Lord can fetch us. The Lord can deliver us from the fiery oven like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Lord, you can change circumstances in the blinking of an eye. You can turn things around for us, for you are God. And we honor you and we recognize that. And help us to have nothing in our lives that we love more than Almighty God. Nothing that we're more interested in than God. Nothing that we love to do more than just being in your presence. For this year is the Sunday. It's the day of the Lord. And it's our delight to spend the day with you in your presence. We thank you for this enormous privilege. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins, for the blood of Jesus Christ, and all the things that go with that. In Jesus Christ's name, all God's people said, amen. Well, you may take your seats, and we started this morning on James chapter number 5 and verse 13, and we also read the book of Hebrews chapter number 18, verse 1. Then he told them a parable, that men always ought to pray and never give up. Always pray, pray, always, always pray, and never give up. And, I can't help but think that from the earliest days of the Bible, people who are godly people communicated with God, and they prayed. I think of the prophet Enoch, even before the days of Noah. Well, in the days of Noah, there was Enoch, and he's called a prophet in the Bible, in the book of Jude. The prophet Enoch wrote about 23 different books. People talk about the book of Enoch, but actually there are a whole string of them that exists. And it's like men called upon the name of the Lord from early days, did sacrifices, wanted, felt loneliness until they found God. When you find God, you're not lonely. A lot of people think that if you have a life partner, that'll take away your loneliness. No, if you find God, you're not lonely. Because it is written, your maker shall be your man. We are married to the heavenly bridegroom. He cares for you, he loves you, and we love you too. And we love one another. Can you say amen? So, having said all of those things, in James chapter number 5 and in the 13th verse is where we were reading. Let me just go to that little piece of scripture there. Shall I say passage of scripture? James 5 verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Now, we spoke about all of this morning. I'm not going to recommentate on that. Let him pray, except for that one single word. prayer. Enoch prayed. Noah prayed. Abraham prayed. Isaac prayed. Jacob prayed. Moses prayed. Elijah prayed. They all prayed. Daniel prayed. King David prayed. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed. The apostles prayed. Everybody prayed. And Jesus himself prayed sometimes right through the night. It's written in the New Testament. Now, if the Son of God deems it necessary, then this whole thing called prayer has got to be absolutely significant. It's been there since the creation of man in the Garden of Eden. It's not just something that we talk about it. It is extremely significant because you cannot find a true godly person that's prayerless. They all pray and have prayed and will pray until the Lord returns. It is an institution, and somehow prayer just makes that difference. We're in the month of breakthroughs. And we believe in God for breakthrough for everybody. But I'm going to use it in the plural. In the plural, it says breakthroughs. He's the God of breakthroughs. Because he can give you more than just one. He can give you plenty of breakthroughs. In a string. Non-stop. God loves you. And once we know that, we understand that. Ask, and it shall be given. The Hebrew or Greek verb says, ask, continuous tense, but it never comes to an end. It just goes on and on and on and on. You're always in the present tense and continuous. Ask and keep on asking. Therefore, the Amplified says just that. And it shall be given. Knock and keep on knocking. And seek and keep on seeking. And you will find. You will have the door open. You will have the answers. You mix that with faith. And when your faith is in it, then God is in it. Because faith, like I've said in many years gone by now, faith is a magnet that brings God on the scene. Fear does exactly the opposite. It brings the devil on the scene. Because the whole kingdom of darkness is based on fear. Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with olive oil, it's eleon, in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. The prayer of faith. Prayer of faith. Prayer of faith. Nothing doubting. Prayer of faith will save the sick. Will save. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now confess your trespasses to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Is dynamic in its working, miraculous, unleashes God's ability to us who pray to overcome daily troubles. There is no better exercise to start a day, number one on the list, by praying. It's been our habit for many years. Maud and I do it all the time. I get up early in the morning, I'm in there and I'm sitting quietly with the Lord, working through the day, but I'm working through it in prayer, praying for whatever the Lord wants me to pray for, and people who have requested me to pray for them, and for the church, and for the family, and for everything. And once you've done that, you can do any other exercise. Bodily exercise profits little, but spiritual exercise is profitable. I say again, spiritual exercise is profitable unto all things, and has with it the gift of eternal life, says the Word of God. Amen. Amen? Amen. Elijah, now this is where the story continues. And, you know, a lot of people stop right there, but it doesn't stop there. Because somehow, in the context of what we've read, Elijah comes into the picture. And he's another example of somebody that prayed. And what I like about this particular statement here, it says, he was a man with a nature like ours, weaknesses and strengths. You see him bringing down fire through prayer from heaven, but then you see him fleeing from Jezebel as far as Beersheba and just beyond Beersheba. And finally, an angel feeds him. The angel of the Lord is there, feeds him. And then he walks on the strength of that food and that water for 40 days, 40 nights until he gets to the mountain of God. And then the Lord has a meeting with him there. The Lord said, what are you doing in this place? And he says, I've been very zealous for the Lord, my God. I've been very zealous. But you know what's been happening? They've forsaken you in the nation. They worship the Baals. They've rejected the Almighty God. They've taken any other route, the Americans say route. They've taken any other way they can. But they've forsaken you. They got other things in their lives. And they've neglected you. And therefore, because of that, I'm in this state that I am. Then, of course, the Lord comes in and the Lord says to him at that point in time, go back and you will anoint Hazael as the king over Syria. Then also Judah, Jehu, the son of Nimzi, to be in charge of, as the new anointed leader of Israel. And you'll also go, and there's another man by the name of Elisha. Elisha, go and anoint him as a prophet in your place. Oh, I need to talk about that. In fact, I think Thursday must probably be about just that. When I have something that is just, to me, so close to my heart. I want to talk about the mantle that you desire. That'll happen Thursday here. The mantle that you desire. It's a game changer. It was a game changer in my personal life. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, netzus yeinek, just like you and me, same thing. And he prayed earnestly. Excuse me. He prayed earnestly. Maybe I need to say that in Afrikaans as well, ernstig. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. We have a revelation here what preceded the drought. There's a man by the name of King Ahab. King Ahab reigned as king over Israel and Samaria. 22 years. I've often wondered about that. I visited a few times now the palace of King Ahab. And that's the place where Elijah the prophet gate crashed. Stopped all the stuff going on. Walked in and said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor no rain until I say so. Because the state of a nation causes the problems for a nation. And I want to tell you something. Sometimes a nation can be on crutches, but the church can never be on crutches. The church of God is in the part of the unshakable kingdom of God. The church is never on crutches. And it's the praying church that makes the difference. I think I'm beginning to see the importance of prayer after all these years. And I prayed some. But it's still coming by revelation all the time. Because, I mean, if there is one thing the devil wants you to do, is not to pray. As the one thing he wants you, go do this rather. Watch the television. Maybe there's some news. And you look at the news and it says, oh, the economy is going down, 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 down. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth produced its fruit. One time, stop the rain. Second time, Lord, send the rain. Now, like I always say, prayer is a deeply spiritual action. Next week is like the final week before the Thanksgiving begins and all the festive season. And I want to ratchet it up to a higher level next week. Really get deeper into this thing and more intense, because therein lies your victory. You see, a lot of people think if they find me in Westgate, Northgate, Southgate, Eastgate, whatever. Maybe if they find me and I pray for them, then everything is going to be changing. Well, sometimes it does. But I'm not your solution. Jesus is. I said Jesus is. You know, Elijah was a man just like us, so he wouldn't be the solution either. Jesus remains the solution. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Pray therefore that your joy may be filled. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Pray that your joy may be full. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave its rain. It says here, the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Followed by prayer was rain and fruitfulness. Rain and fruitfulness. And of course, we know. I said something the other day. I said something very important. I said, you know, with all the stuff that goes on in any country, you know, you tend to think only South Africa, but we've got a big audience out there watching on the internet from all around the world. United States, particularly now this time of the day, because it's midday there. And the West Coast of the United States woken up. It's about a 3-hour time difference between the two, depending, of course, where you are. But they very much awake, and some are watching from there. They're watching from all over. And I want to tell you something. It's not the nation of South Africa that's in the state. It's everywhere that's in the state. The problem is, I was thinking this week, I was doing something, and I'm, you know, you meditate all the time with the word, the word, the word, the word. And I'm thinking that the world, by and large, by vast majority, is being governed by people that are not saved. Amen. And right there puts that, just that point, puts problems in every, no matter where you go on the planet, no matter where you are. You'll find things there that'll disturb you also. It's like when I went down to Port Elizabeth and I preached there many years ago at a pastor called Jimmy Crompton's church. And there was a lady, I think she was like a secretary or something in those days. little lady that sat there with us having lunch. And she said, you know, she's speaking Afrikaans, but I'll rather say it in English because, again, for the outside audience. She said, you know, here in the bay, there are no demons. Now I'll say it in Afrikaans, translated. Hier in die baai is daar nie duivels nie. I looked at her, and it was Saturday, and I was in a hotel. It was right on the beach, but I didn't leave the room. I stayed in the room. I was alone. I traveled alone that time. I don't know if Maud, no, Maud was not with me. I was alone. So I decided to just stay there, right there, and pray the day. So I prayed the day. I prayed through it, and the following morning, Sunday morning, out there in that church in Port Elizabeth, I walked into the church, did a sermon, and then said, I'm going to pray for people experiencing something wrong in your life. Doesn't matter what it is. Just come out. And people came out. And you know, it was like the first, second, or third. I can't remember now because I think it was the third person that I got to. Before I even touched that person, that demon was struck to the ground. The tongue was coming out, going like a snake's tongue, and sailing on the ground. I saw that little old lady sit there with an open mouth. Ah, there are demons everywhere, in every nation. The prince of the power of the air, he's got his representatives everywhere. Whom do you think spiritual warfare? Now, this thing I'm really persuaded of, because a lot of people in a lot of countries, like I've been to many countries, I've got there and I said to myself, they don't know how to pray. They can preach, they can do this, they can flash on the platform, they can do all sorts of things. These days, the guy with the loudest voice that can shout louder than the other, or the lady that can shout the loudest, they're the winners of the match. I've seen them all. I've seen it all. I've seen them all. You come a long way with the Lord, you see it all. The solution does not lie in that. It's fine. But copying somebody else is not going to bring the power of God upon your life. If you want to copy anything, do what Jesus did. He's the role model, not some person. And so Elijah here finds himself there and he goes, and then of course he casts his mantle on Elisha, and we're going to leave that there. But an incident takes place on Mount Carmel. The idolatry, witchcraft, and divination under a wicked woman called Jezebel had increased to such an extent that the anger of the Lord burnt hot against Israel. God was angry. Now they're from the mountains of Gilead. That's the other side of the Lake of Galilee, or the Sea of Galilee. Kinneret, which means shaped like a heart. The Lake of Kinneret, Sea of Galilee. Right on the other side, on the western side, that is the area of Gilead. Now somewhere there was a little village, like a place there where it's not really known to a lot of people. It's just like a couple of stone buildings and whatever they used to build rooms and homes with in those days. And there was a young man that grew up by the name of Elijah. Nobody knew about him. He would be the one that say these words, that would say these words, say, I've been very zealous for the Lord my God. Now let's say the guy, I've been very zealous, on fire, intense, fiery hot, for the Lord my God. Arthur Wallace wrote a book called The Radical Christian. And when that zeal of the Lord consumes you, you are going to walk in His will. And you will preserve that to such an extent, you will not want to be disturbed in your relationship with God. You will not want to. How many prayer meetings have I done, attended, and then had to leave. And I felt the presence of God so strong on me that I hated stopping the prayer. I hated not praying. I wanted to stay longer in His presence. I remember those days out there in Lindhaven. We did those 4-hour prayer meetings in the mornings. That I would go home morning after morning after that long prayer session. Go home every morning and I would say, Lord, I don't want to stop now. I'm in such a flow here. I don't want to stop now. And I said, Lord, just don't ever let this presence leave me. Please, Jesus, don't let it leave me. And then you get caught up in the traffic and things distract you. You're driving. It's now because you prayed for 4 hours. Now you're in traffic. You're on your way home. Maybe take a bath, shower, get ready and come back to the office or whatever. And I would say, Lord, just whatever, don't leave me now. Because this feeling, this sensational experiencing of the presence of God on your life, I'll tell you something. It is the most incredible sensation that I could describe to you that's ever happened in my life, ever. Since I've received Jesus, that's been to me like completely priceless. That's why I can't understand that people don't treasure the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Just can't understand it. Just can't understand it. It's like trying to understand a fig tree that bears pomegranates. You wouldn't understand that. It's just, okay, I don't understand that. The anointing is so critical, so vital. If I want a breakthrough, it is the anointing that'll break the yoke. It's the anointing that'll break the yoke. It shall come to pass, says the prophet Isaiah, in the last days, I think it's Isaiah 10:27, that the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing is what breaks the yoke of the devil if he tries to trouble you. It's the anointing. When a person submits to God and he resists the devil, it's the anointing. When you submit to God, you resist the devil. The Bible says, and he will flee from you. That Greek word there says, like in terror. Not just fear, but he will be in a state of being terrified. Because you've just walked in the room. Because you're now there. And he knows he's got to go. See? It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Walk out there. Then I would do these fasting sessions. Those days we did a lot of fasting. It was the birth of this entire ministry. And I remember one stage I was fasting and we had some people that came to visit us from Ermelo. And I remember I was fasting and I was praying and just, and there was such a presence in that study room there. And we were still living in Veronica Street, out there towards Kloofendal, had a house there. And I remember that, man, I'm fasting and praying. But now this prayer is so deep. It is so intense. It is so beautiful. You forget clean about even asking anything. You just want to worship. You just want to worship. You just want to worship. Because in any event, the anointing breaks the yoke. It's like God waits for the words to go over your lips so that he can break that yoke, whatever it is. It's like God waits for you, just say it and I'll do it for you now. Say it in the name of Jesus. You're in covenant with me through the blood of the cross. You've been crucified. You're a new person. Just speak it out. And I would be in that fast, and then came this thing. It's time to break the fast. And you go out, and I remember that day I went out and I had something to eat with them. And it was like, I don't care if they put in front of you velvet cake, milk tart, cook sisters. Anybody know what that is? Amen. Fat cook and mince. A big steak. Doesn't matter what. A Christmas cake. And you're busy fasting. I want to tell you something. You just don't. You have this feeling on you. I have it actually now. That you are so content, so at peace. Let the earth rumble and carry on. But I'm with the Lord right now. I've got an appointment here. I'm busy working on this thing. I haven't got a worry in this world. Cast the whole sum of your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Now let me quickly finish this, because I could carry on for a long time. You know me. In fact, I can do a whole 6 weeks course about what I'm talking. Thursday night, the mantle that you desire. You'll find out about that. You'll find out about that. It was one of the things when I discovered it, when I heard that, that it changed my life. It impacted me so deeply that I was rejoicing, but at the same time, I was very careful because of just that, and I want to preach it this coming Thursday night. It's like another message which I heard that had a big effect. Catching the spirit of the leader. Catching the spirit of the leader. You spend so much time with God. You say, there's an anointing service. People stay at home. What do? They're playing games on an iPad. Or they watch whatever television, I don't even know, whatever it is. Who killed who? And you wait for the next program, and again, who killed who? And the next program, here's another inspector, here's another person, who killed who? And they're running into houses, kicking down doors, they keep getting the next one, who killed the next one? And they hammer that theme all the time. And then they say, we don't understand, we've got violence in the streets. They don't understand. How come somebody goes to school and kills a lot of people? How come somebody goes into a theater and starts shooting? Who killed who? Now they run around. They wonder now, why did this all come about? We better get the psychologist out here and get the psychiatrist. Maybe we all need some calming tablets around here. Maybe something else. Who killed who? Again. I'm not interested in that stuff. I really have no particular love for it. But I will tell you, I get in a fast and I pray with that fast. Get in a fast, I say again, and pray with that fast. You get this presence coming on you. If you pray long enough in tongues, it comes. Pray in the Spirit, it comes. And then suddenly you feel the whole place, the whole earth, everything is filled with His glory. And now everything just dies around you. You're not interested in who killed who. You are safely in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my refuge. In Him do I betach. I have my faith. I trust in Him. He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence, from the arrow that flies by day. He will do that. Quoting a few verses for, because He loves me, therefore, with long life I will satisfy Him and show him my salvation. End of that, Psalm 91 I quoted. Because he loves me. That's all God needs to know. I love him. And if you love him, then you have to keep his commandments. And one of the prime commandment is the royal law of love, which is a major problem in the country. Too much hatred. Way too much. Because no, not God. So therefore the devil's in charge and he just stirs up wherever he can, hatred and all the other stuff. In the meantime, you're sitting there and you're thinking, Lord God, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear. For you, O Lord, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. At the moment I make a misstep, there's a staff that catches me and pulls me back in line. And now I get to the edge of, in those hills of Judea, it's very stony. They're rolling hills. And if you slip, you're going to fall. Like at Wadi Kelt. You're going to fall. And there's nothing that you can grab hold of to stop you. You'll just keep rolling. Just keep rolling. You go all the way down into the gorge and get killed in the process. There's no way that you'll survive. But there's a shepherd's staff that grabs you, pulls you back. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear. For you're with me. Now Elijah was a man just like us. And he prayed the second time. Now what happened is that all this idolatry that was taking place there in Israel caused the Lord to get very angry about it. You see, sanity only comes when you have the mind of Christ. Maybe somebody heard me say that. Sanity prevails when you have the mind of Christ. Amen. When you have sanity and you have therefore the mind of Christ, you are a person of solutions, not a person of problems. Because you solve your problems on your knees. You strike the victory on your knees. That's what happens. And so at the appointed time, Elijah was on the mountain. He had just taken out 850 false prophets of Baal and Asherah. And King Ahab in the palace out there, they were going. And Jezebel was an evil woman. And there on the top of the mountain, there's this man, and he says, now I'm going to pray. And he goes and he sits down with his head between his knees. He bows down with his head between his knees. Now some people have got all sorts of configurations about that. They said, well, in the ancient world, that's the way that birth was given. Well, possibly that was the position. We do not know because I've not picked that up in manuscripts or anything like that. But he bows down with his head between his knees and he begins to pray once. And he says to his servant, go see if there is any sign of clouds or rain that's coming. Servant comes back, says nothing. Go towards the sea, number two. Go towards the sea, go and have a look. Because the prevailing winds always come in over Europe in there. That's where the wind streams go. If you look at those geographical wind streams, the jet streams are targeting right there towards Jerusalem. So go towards the sea and look that direction. That's where the prevailing wind's blowing. Seven times he prayed. And then his servant comes and says, listen, listen. I see a cloud like a man's hand coming up out of the sea. And he says, that's it. Tell this man, Ahab, you know, get yourself together, gird your loins, jump on your chariot and race. One of the things I could never quite figure out, I'm still trying to figure it out, is that you have King Ahab ruling 22 years in Samaria. But Jezebel is a Jezreel. Jezebel, Jezreel. That's where she's hanging out. So he goes down to Jezreel, which is downhill, in another direction, not to Samaria. Okay, Samaria is a little bit further from that point. I know Israel. So he goes, and he runs ahead of a chariot. He girded his loins, and he outran King Ahab's chariot, led the way all the way into the city, and the thunder and the lightning was there, and the drought was broken. Breakthrough. Now notice something here. Just one more point. The seventh time. The seventh time. Seven is the number of spiritual perfection. The Bible is the book of sevens. The book of Revelation particularly is the book called the book of sevens. It's full of sevens. Everything happens seven times. And you know, there's a message spelt out there. Even the seven churches of Revelation, whom a lot of people have likened unto seven successive church ages, ending with the Laodicean age, the lukewarm church of the final hour. That's what they say. They say. But not everybody agrees on seven successive ages of the church. People have done teachings about that and around that. But there's no proof that it's seven successive. But we do know is seven churches. And there's seven lampstands. And there's seven flames before the throne of God. And there's seven vials, seven trumpets, everything seven, seven, seven. And 144. It's all those numbers. If you go into the sevens, you look at the book of Revelation, everything works out in sevens. Every time it says completion, spiritual perfection, absolute perfection. And he gives birth to rain right there on his knees. Right there. He gives birth to rain. You, in your prayer life, not a once off, not a twice off. And I want to say, don't be, can I say, dogmatic about it. You continue in prayer and you don't give up. I will not give up. The issues I've been praying for years. And let me tell you, I've got good news for you. And I got that news, I can say boldly in the presence of the Lord. I'll never give up praying. I just won't give up praying. Things I pray for just won't give up praying for it. Well, Pastor Harold, pray for me. There's going to be a miracle. And if there's a miracle, then breakthrough has come because of the miracle. You know, the anointing will break the yoke. And if that miracle does not come right there and then, they lose their faith right there and then. But if you lay hands on a person, and they have the understanding that this is the game-changing moment. This is the point of a new day. That's why, like next Sunday night, I want to have a celebration here. A celebration of blessing. That people get blessed. Because I want to send the people out with blessing upon their lives. Before the festive season, we have all the Christmas concerts and stuff. I just feel that we need to end the year on a high note next Sunday night. Can you say amen? But you need the blessing of the Lord. You need it so badly. But you pray till you have attained to spiritual perfection in your prayer life. And you'll know it. God will know it. And you'll be sorry for walking out of that prayer room. I tell a story which I've often told in times past. It goes like this, that let's say this here pulpit now is the throne of God. It's early morning, I wake up, it's time to pray, and I begin and I approach the Lord in prayer. I'm on my knees, I'm praying to God, and I'm worshiping and blessing the Lord. I play very soft music, and because I don't want to wake up anybody, I just pray. pray soft, very soft string music. And I'm busy with the throne of God. And then I go out. And the presence of God is right there. Then I go back again. And I go out. And the presence of God is there again. And I go there. And this happens over and over. One morning, I feel the presence of God. And I walk out. And it's like somebody pats you on the shoulder and say, where are you going? And I say, Lord, I've got to go. It's a date. I've got to go work now. The Lord says, well, I'm coming with you. I'm coming with you to your office. How's that for you? I'm coming with you to wherever you're busy working. I'm going to be with you. Right there with you. You will ask. And before you can ask, I will say, I'm here. Because this fellowship with you has become so precious, so intimate, so entrusting, so faithful, so consistent, so beautiful. God would almost say to anybody, I pass over 1 million people, but stop with one man or woman of prayer. And everything changes because God can send the rain and break the drought in your life. Amen. Come and give the Lord a good praise offering right now. Let's stand, give God praise. Come on, shout hallelujah. Everybody say Jesus. Everybody say Jesus is Lord. Now give Jesus the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. Thursday night, here, it's all about that mantle. God bless you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you one and all. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you eternal salvation and peace. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.